Blog Talk Radio. A study by the Diabetes Coalition of California reports an especially high rate of diabetes to the Central Valley. 1 in 12 Californians have type 2 diabetes, with Hispanics and African Americans being twice more likely between the ages of 18 and 44. Many of you live in Fresno and cities surrounding the Central Valley, so chances are you or someone in your family have type 2 diabetes. Make the choice today to manage your diabetes, because a healthy life is a happy life. Visit whymediabetes.org for great stuff like diabetes education, recipes from other diabetics, and encouragement to continue your New Year's resolution to exercise more. Get a free blood sugar reading by members of the Black Diabetic Foundation at Juneteenth celebration, June 20th at Rutherford B. Gadsden Middle School. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and bookmark us at whymediabetes.org.
Good afternoon. This is Ruth, your hostess of Why Me Diabetes, and welcome to Why Me Diabetes. If you are having problems getting me, it's not your system. It is, I'm in a high storm area. We have a couple of casualties and some people unaccounted for where I am at. And so it's not your system. It's the weather, and I'm not able to transmit as well. So today, I want to encourage you, if you're in the Central Valley, to come on down June 20th to the Gadsden Academy Middle School, right there on the corner of Church and Martin Luther King Boulevard. We'd love to see you. And I'm sure that it's going to be a fun day for the entire family. The theme is, it's a family affair. Remember that by Sly Stone? Come on, you got, you know, you remember back in the day, it's a family affair. Well, that's all I can say. But anyway, being a diabetic is a happy diabetic. You know, a lot of times you see us and we are just as jolly can be. My grandmother used to say, that's because you're full of all that sugar. Well, sugar may be part of our problem, but we are happy-go-lucky people. And today is the last Tuesday in the month of May. Where has the time went? How was your Memorial Day? Me personally, I want to thank all the people that made life better for me by going to different countries and fighting to make my world and your world, whether we are diabetics or not, make it a better place. So today we're going to talk about making rice dressing, and we're also going to talk about different foods and how much gram of protein, because you need the protein for your muscles in your lower extremities as well as your upper extremities. And if you don't have the protein, your muscles tighten up and they become constricted. So just to give you some examples, before we go into the making the rice dressing, did you know that beef has the highest protein? 65% of beef per gram is what beef is rated as. That's a high percentage. Although, to get you a T-bone, some filet mignon, it costs an arm and a leg. Or to get you a ribeye, it costs an arm and a leg. But it is so good for you. And not everyone knows how to cook this type of meat either. I personally can only cook the T-bone. I can do some sirloin. But that filet mignon and the ribeye, I have to let someone else do that cooking. That is not for me. But beef is that excellent source of protein that we eat. Now, vegetarians and they'll have to find other sources of protein, like in black-eyed peas, is a high source of protein for vegetarians. Later on, we'll be talking this week, maybe on Thursday, vegetables that are high in protein so that vegetarians can have the protein because they need it also. Just because you're not eating meat, your body doesn't, you know, can compensate. So under the education section, remember, Why Me Diabetes have three E's, education, eating, and exercising. And what we're doing right now is educating you on the appropriateness of the meat that you may be consuming. And all of this meat, the best way to prepare it is to grill it, bake it, or broil it. Frying is not an option. Frying has the grease. Frying is not healthy for diabetics. Whether you're type 1 or type 2, it is not healthy. Also, beef is 65%. Guess what come in at 44%? Deer meat. Now, I love deer meat. I can't always get it, but I love it in my eggs. Cook me some deer sausage and eggs and potatoes, or make me tacos and deer ground beef, or spaghetti and ground beef. And remember, whatever you eat, whatever piece of meat you eat, my dietitian, Meredith, says always to eat in moderation. Dr. Thompson has said the same thing. Eat in moderation. You don't have to stop eating the things that you grew up with, but eat it in moderation and rearrange how you cook it. Instead of back in the day, Big Mama fried everything. Well, Big Mama is not here no more, so we have to either bake it or grill it. Okay, so we got beef, we got deer, and what come in at 35 is turkey and chicken, 35 grams of protein per serving. That's kind of middle of the road, We do eat a lot of chicken. Most of us eat a lot of chicken, especially boneless, skinless. We eat a lot of turkey, and we like a lot of smoked turkey. That makes your greens taste real good. Greens is a vegetable that you need. I personally prefer collard greens, where you may like turnip and mustard as opposed to collard. But that smoked turkey drumstick, oh, that tastes so good. Or a smoked turkey wing. Oh, ooh la la. Then at 21%, no, 23%, lamb. Lamb comes in at 23%. 21% is fish. And I can understand why it is lower, because, you know, you don't get large pieces of fish when you do eat fish. And fish is part of the omega-3s that your body needs. So I can see it being at 21 grams of protein. But that is basically your meat chain, the protein that you need to prevent you from getting muscle atrophy. And all of us needs the protein in our diet. And we can get it in various forms. And we all need to eat. It would be so nice if we could have meat three times a day. But with the expense of food, if we get it twice a day, we're doing good. So when the Why Me Diabetes, so we became a corporation, we wanted to implement three things. We want to educate the public about diabetes. how to live a healthier lifestyle, how to manage your diabetes. All of that was under the education section. And we continue and we strive to do that every Tuesday and Thursday. We strive to let you know there are other alternative ways to handle this situation. Back in the day, it was only one way or no way. Now there are so many ways that you can live healthier and wiser. There are so many insulins out there, where in the olden days there were only two types of insulin, the Novolin and the regular, and the NPH. I take it back, three. NPH, regular, and Novolin. Now you can't even start to name off the insulin. And did you know that insulin was made from a pig? Yes, insulin is made from a pig. Isn't that the irony? Pig is not a good choice of meat to eat, but if you want to survive and take insulin, it's made out of the pig. But I'm not a one who produces stuff. I just accidentally lucked upon that little tidbit. If you're on medication and your A1C and your blood sugar is running up and down, up and down, up and down, it may be time that you talk to your doctor and see if they can either increase your medicine or change your medicine. Because after a while, our system get a buildup and it doesn't help us. And there are some of us where our A1C stays maybe at 5, never goes below 5, and every 6 months you go, it's a five. You really want to be around 3. So time to see about changing the medication. And the pancreas can be acting up. Maybe they need to do some testing with your pancreas and to see where you're at. This is why I encourage you to see an endocrinologist every 6 months. He or she specializes in hormones. Insulin is a hormone. And if your pancreas is not producing it right, then we need to do something so that when you do take the medicine, you get the best effect from it. Also, if you are taking maybe 10 units of some sort of insulin, and your blood sugar is staying at 130. Even though you exercise and you eat right, weight is staying stable, but it's always 130. The doctor is most likely not going to increase the insulin on a regular basis until they see a pattern. 130 is a tad bit high. The doctor is going to try to figure out why is it that tad bit high. You see, most doctors won't do anything until it gets to be 150 or 151. Then they'll start changing medication. Because it could be stress that could be causing your blood sugar to be high. It could be something that you ate could cause it to be high. You didn't get enough rest could cause it to get high. You tested right after smoking a cigarette. Yes, Dr. Thompson told me that smoking elevates your blood sugar. And I did not know that until she told me that quite a while back. I've kept it in my back brain. I'm a non-smoker, so it does not affect me. But for those that smoke, and you test right after smoking, and you're always at 130, 132. How about we test before and after we smoke to get a baseline as to where we're at? So when it comes to the education, there's a lot of little things that we can do to educate each other about diabetes. Diabetes in the Central Valley of California is on the uprise. As I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there are 45,000 diagnosis residents in the Central Valley of California that are diagnosed. And it is suspected that there's another 45,000 that are not diabetics and don't even know that they are diabetic. They have not been tested or have not shown any signs and symptoms of diabetes. Remember, the warning signs that you may be a diabetic is that increased thirst for ice water, not tap water, ice water. You will drink. You'll even get a brain freeze because you're drinking so much ice water. And then you're running to the bathroom. The more water you consume, the more you want to urinate. And your urination will have a fruity odor. You need to go to the doctor right away and let them know, I've been drinking water like this, and my urine smells, you know, this way. Classic symptoms of being a diabetic. Now, females, we have a little more challenge. We have a tendency to become what used to be known as adult onset diabetes mellitus, and that is at the change of life when we start going through menopause and we kick in as diabetics. We also have a problem with losing red blood cells because of our monthly menses. So that makes us anemic also, which makes us feel tired all the time. These are things that each and every one of us, male or female, need to watch out for. Females for the extra tiredness, becoming a diabetic at the age of between 40 and 50, even though it runs in the family and you never shown any signs until you start going through the change of life. I just talked to someone last week, and she said, Ruth, do you know I'm a diabetic now? And I asked her, when did this take place? And she said, when I started going through the change of life. I said, well, that's very common for us. I didn't become a diabetic, too, until I started going through the change. And a lot of people that I know, we were up and about enjoying the things we were not supposed to be eating and never had a problem with our blood sugar until we hit that 40 button. And between 40 and 50, you became diabetic. Men, you also go through the change of life. A lot of times, fellas, you don't realize it, but when you hit that 50 button and you start looking for that 21-year-old girl, you're in the change of life, dude. You're in the change of life. Because you'd be saying she liked your button. That's all psychological. Psychological. But that is how we females can tell when a man is going through his change of life. He's not moody. He just, you know what? He just got to have that young stuff. So that's our soapbox on sexual education for today. So remember, you can hit us on Twitter, Facebook, or Why Me? Diabetes.org, Blog Talk Radio on Tuesday and Thursday. We have a Google phone number, 281-826-9152. Once again, 281-826-9152. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook or Twitter also. So we had hit the first E, which is education. We're going to go to eating. And today we're making rice dressing. And all you need is some cooked leftover rice. Put it in a mixing bowl. You're going to need a half a cup of celery, a half a cup of onions, dice up 2 to 3 eggs, mix all that in your mixing bowl with your rice, your choice of either cream of chicken soup or cream of mushroom soup. Whichever one you choose, open up that can, and you can even get the low sodium. Open up that can of soup, stir it all of that together. Let it stir up, stir it, take a wooden spoon, what I use, and stir all that up together with my celery, my eggs, my soup, and all of that. Then get a casserole dish and put just a tad bit of olive oil or canola oil, just something to kind of prevent it from sticking. After you have gotten it all mixed up, and you may, if you choose, put just a pinch of sage. It just depends upon my mood at the time. Stir everything up real good. The better you stir it up, the better it's going to be. If you have any leftover chicken or turkey and you want to add it, you can do it two ways. You can dice it up and add it to the mix, or else after you put this rice mixture in the casserole dish, lie your chicken or turkey on top, because everything is already done anyway. You just want it to cook together. In my house, we call it creative cooking. We try not to throw nothing away. We've been making rice dressing for 4 or 5 years whenever there's rice left over. And we use that long grain white rice. 1 cup of the long grain white rice is what you need to really be eating, because rice is will cause your blood sugar to rise, but it is about 90 grams of starch. You don't want to eat too much of it, but eat enough to enjoy it. And put it in the oven, cook it for about 30 minutes, and you have redone your rice. And my cousin gave me this recipe, and she swears by it, and now I swear by it. You don't throw rice away. You just make it rice dressing. And the first time that we made this, oh, we could not get enough of it. We love rice. And some cultures eat rice every day. But this particular time, we had made just a tad bit too much. And I was talking to my cousin's wife, and she told me what she does, and we've been doing it ever since. So let me just go back. You need cooked rice, a half a cup of onions, half a cup of celery, eggs, and a pinch of sage if you want it, and the mushroom or the cream of chicken soup, whichever you prefer. And put it in your oven 30 to 45 minutes. Depends upon your oven. That is a good meal. It saves you from having to throw away leftovers. Because the way the economy is going, you need to be able to save every nickel, dime, that you can get your hand on, because school is going to be out pretty soon, kids are going to be home, and you got to prepare those extra meals. So you don't want to throw anything away. Nada. Nothing. So that is the eating, the second E. The third E is exercising. Are you exercising on a regular basis? Do you do the basic sitting down exercise that my consultant had told us what we could do. My consultant, Mrs. Bianchi, had told us that sitting down, you can do reaching for the sky, you can do rowing your boat, and you can do sitting down marching, and you can bend over and touch your toes. That is four different types of sitting down exercise at your dining room table or at the edge of your bed. Besides, you can do the Muhammad Ali types of things, like your boxing. You know, jab, 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 as fast as you can go to get the circulation going. You can also do the mule kick by holding on to the dining room table chair and kick backwards. All of these types of exercise can help you lose weight, maintain the weight, and keep the muscles going. But you got to be committed to it. You just don't do one or two. You should, at this point in time, you should be anywhere between 20 and 30 of each one of them. Your exercise home program should be a good 30-minute workout. Do it in the morning or in the afternoon. Should have a good workout. Also, water aerobics is excellent now that the weather is changing and it's warm. If you can get into some kind of program where they have water aerobics, that's good. And even if you just go and learn how to swim, that is good also. Best of all, is taking that walk. Walk with someone, not by yourself. And taking that walk around the block, or maybe start walking around the block and slowly walk to a block and a half and then maybe two blocks. That is good. Not only is that good, that also helps you rest when you lie down. And you can be able to sleep better. And are you getting anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sleep? When I was younger, 4 hours was good, and I was ready to go. And it'd be alert. But if I get 4 hours now, I'm dragging. 6 to 8 hours is a good number to have for your sleep. And try to be consistent. You know, we have a tendency to, one night we go to bed at 12, but next night, 10. The third may go at 1. We just keep going back and forth. We never be consistent. And we need to be consistent whatever we do. I want to take this last 60 seconds to thank YOU. I appreciate you so much. You just don't know. If I knew you personally and knew how to get in contact with you, I would tell you so. I also want to thank my three grandchildren who are with me, who keeps their Nana on track, and that is Reese, Sierra, and Kiera. And mostly, besides you, my three grandchildren, I want to thank Jump Start Media has been with Why Me Diabetes for the past 2 years. And I appreciate her and her business. Once again, this is the last Tuesday in the month of May. It has been a rocky month. The weather has been up and down. And we've had 3 big holidays, and I hope you enjoyed them. But most importantly, eat right, exercise, and try to give somebody a nice big hug and let them know that you care about them. I love you, God love you, and each and every one of us is going to become a healthier, well, as a better diabetic. Talk to you on Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye.